Good afternoon. Well, good evening, rather. You're listening to All Things Considered on WNIN. We are on our day out today in Owensboro. I'm here at the International Bluegrass Museum with two bourbon connoisseurs here in Owensboro. That's right, this hour we've been talking about bourbon. And one person I have with me here is Larry Kirk, who is the owner of the Miller House, which is a bar here in Owensboro with what I would like to call a trophy case for the state of Kentucky. Why don't you tell us what's inside of that case?
Well, currently we have over 300 bourbons.
Over 300.
Easily one of the largest collections in Kentucky, if not the universe.
That's a safe claim? You can make that claim?
I think I can. And I've got an expert across the table from me that's shaking his head yes, I feel comfortable with it.
That's right. Joining us also is Vince Carita, who started the Owensboro Bourbon Society here. And he's quite special. He's from New Jersey, so just a testament to the charm of bourbon is what we said earlier.
Absolutely.
So this hour, we are going to focus especially on history of bourbon here in Owensboro, and maybe, I don't know, projections for the future. But before we get into that, I'd like to play a clip of my tasting at the Miller House. Larry, I went over and visited you on, boy, was that Tuesday night?
I don't remember.
It feels like forever ago. Well, I went along with my friend Nathan Bartholomew, who helped me produce, and we are tasting Old Medley.
Exactly.
Right? Which originally was in Owensboro.
The Medley family, of course, they're from Owensboro.
Uh-huh.
We had Medley Distillery. And Vince, if you can help me, how many years has it been since the distillery actually operated?
I think it's been, I want to say the 90s it shut down, I believe.
And with that, Wathens was one of their...
And Wathens is a big name.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's an eight-year. The Old Medley, it's actually only, 2 years old, would you say, been out?
Would you have Medley Brothers or Old
Medley? We had Old Medley.
Old Medley's 12 years old.
But, I mean, it's been out.
Oh, for in the market?
Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a 12-year-old, basically Wathens. It's got a wonderful butterscotch finish. And then just recently, they relaunched Medley Brothers, which I think they did that in the 70s originally.
I don't think earlier than that.
Was it? So it was, we were really honored that they had the relaunch at in spirits at Miller House, and the family was in. And but, you know, it's, we're proud that that is from our area originally. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Medleys live here. And
so
they're an important family.
A bourbon with Owensboro ties. So
absolutely.
Let's have a listen to our tasting of Old Medley at the Miller House. Larry, tell me what is in this snifter?
Okay. This this is called a Glencairn glass. Glencairn glass from Scotland. Okay. These win the Queen's Award every year in Scotland. They're designed specifically for whiskey and bourbon because they, as you bring it to your mouth, it hits your nose and mouth at the same time. So you get they're really, really great glasses. This is Old Medley. It's a 12-year-old. And it was done by Charles Medley, one of the Medleys from Owensboro. Charles still lives here. And it's main characteristic for most people is this strong butterscotch finish. It's won several awards. It's a wonderful bourbon just to sip. So, cheers.
Cheers. Thank you, Larry.
This has a real long finish. It'll stay with you for a while.
Oh, that's lovely.
It'll definitely hang with you for a while.
No, it tastes like the holidays.
This, you know, and it's like anything, but one thing about bourbon, it does seem to take you places. You know, I mean, I can sit at this bar. We do jazz and blues down here a lot of times on the weekends. I can sit at this bar and this bourbon, it'll take me to Chicago or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's funny the different places it'll...
For the people, it reminds me of my grandmother, because from my earliest memory of her was she used to make bourbon sours.
Oh, there you go. If you guys nose this now, in about 5 minutes, it's going to be completely different, you know, as the air gets to it. You give it a few minutes, it'll start getting a more caramel taste and vanilla. It's just a really great bourbon. This in a liquor store is about $45, $50 bourbon.
And you said it's from Medley.
Right.
And the brothers are from Owensboro.
Yes.
So where are they distilling now?
I'm not quite sure where it's distilled, but it's Charles Medley and Sam, his son. They have Old Medley. In fact, they just had a relaunch of Old Medley Brothers, which was done back in the 70s, and that was a huge deal. The family came in here, and I don't know if you can see the bottle or not. It kind of has an older label on it. See the Medley Brothers there? And that's a much higher proof. This is 86 proof, where the Old Medley's 102. This is just a great bourbon. It's a great intro bourbon for somebody that's never tasted it. I think you'll agree it's a pretty nice finish. It's, well, you describe it.
I need to have a second sip. I was really focused on audio for a second. It really does have a long finish. It stays on the tongue for a while. It almost has a bite to it, but it's warm.
I think women, they get it quicker. I've noticed in our place here that anytime women have drank this for the first time, it comes to them much quicker than it does men, as far as the butterscotch or the longer palate, the longer nose or the better nose. And I can't tell you why. Even watching you don't throw it down. You sip it, and you maybe thanks to your grandmother.
Likely. We won't get into that.
Well, I'm not well versed in bourbons, obviously, and I kind of came here thinking that it would be kind of like the wine world, where there's so many reds, so many whites, and how can you tell the difference? But just between the one example I've had versus this like a whole other, activating different parts of my palate that I didn't even think I had.
As we let this set here, it's gonna taste different.
I've started to feel that caramel aroma, and I'm blown away.
Yeah, and there's no one thing great about bourbon is there's no one right thing to say about it.
Yeah.
It's what's right for you. You know, for years in wine, you had to agree with the people who knew wine, and then finally they started saying things like, you know, if you like a $6 bottle of wine, then it's great. That took a while. But in these bourbons, I mean, there are $300 bottles here, or there are $8 bottles here. But the truth is, it's what you like. I will say this: none of them are terrible. You know, they're just some a lot better than others.
Very fun.
So the good news is, you have 316 to go.
So I guess I need to make another trip, huh? 316 to go. So I guess that's part of the allure of bourbon is it doesn't really have that connotation of snobbery, if you will.
Well, I think it's I think bourbon can thank scotch. That's how I look at it, because bourbon was always viewed as a very blue collar drink, and scotch at one time was viewed the same way. And then they came out with single malt scotches, and it took the bourbon industry a while to react to it. But in 1984, the first single barrel bourbon came out, which was blends, and it was, you know, positioned as a premium bourbon. And then they had small batch bourbons after that. And so you still have the appeal to the blue collar, but you also have the appeal to the white collar.
Uh-huh.
What a word.
Well, and it reminds me of another clip I want to listen to. My friend Nathan, he's from Indiana, and he of course thought of a question that never had occurred to me, nor had really occurred to you, Larry.
Not really.
No, it stumped us both. So let's have a listen to that question, and maybe I'm hoping, Vince, you'll have an answer for us.
Uh-oh. Okay.
What are the variables that influence the price of a bourbon? Like, if you have an $8 bourbon versus a $300?
You know, nobody's ever asked me that. I've never really... I mean, it's a great question. What is it? What makes them... I'd like to say, okay, the master distiller, you know, the formula itself, there's a million formulas, and obviously some are better than others.
Probably just comes back to what you just said. It's different for every single person.
Well, it is, but yet, consistently, let's just talk about, let's say, the Pappy Van Winkle 15-year-old. Consistently, it wins awards among a lot of different types of people with a lot of different palates. So what really makes it better than that $30 bottle? I mean, I guess it gets down to formula.
So there you go. Vince, formula?
Well, formula is one. I think capacity for is the first thing that has an impact on it, how much they can make of a particular mash bill. But, for instance, you know, Jim Beam White is the same bourbon as Knob Creek. And Jim Beam White goes for $10, and Knob Creek goes for $40. So you have to look at a couple of things. One is age. The longer it sits in the barrel, the more taxes a distiller pays on it. And also there's something called the angel share, which is evaporation in the barrel. And usually a 12-year-old bourbon, almost 50% of the barrel would have evaporated.
Huh.
So you're getting less. So if you have a 23-year-old bourbon, there might be 5 or 6 gallons in a 53-gallon barrel, so there's less of it to begin with. So I look at the factors of how much capacity, how the age of it. Is it a single barrel? Because the connotation around single barrel is that it's a, you know, the master distiller has handpicked, selected those barrels, and they're better. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with that, but it's they're going to market it as the high end, the premium of that particular line of mm-hmm. bourbon. So I think age, marketing, single barrel, capacity, I think those are how much taxes you pay.
Well, in the case of Pappy's, which we had been talking about, I mean, it's so alluring that, you know, thousands of dollars worth of Pappy's has been stolen in the past.
Right.
Was that
right.
In September?
Right.
But
Pappy was originally made at Stitzel Weller Distillery, which no longer exists. And then in the early 2000s, the Van Winkles went into a venture with Buffalo Trace. And then the demand went so high of bourbon. So Buffalo Trace makes it now, but the older ones, the 20 and 23, still come, portions of it still come from Stitzel Weller. And in that case, it's age, and there's not enough of it. Like the capacity to make it 15 years ago, they weren't making a lot of it because there wasn't a demand for it. So
Larry, when someone asks you for a recommendation at your bar, and, you know, maybe they say Pappy's because they say the allure of it. I mean, do you recommend something else? Maybe, well, maybe you should try this if you're going to spend that
well,
much.
You know, honestly, there's not that much Pappy. there are actually people that come in local liquor stores and ask for the Pappy Isle, which doesn't
the Pappy
really...
Isle,
yes,
which exists in your dreams.
Yes, exactly. And for some reason, they think because they're in Kentucky that we just have cases of it sitting around. With that said, you know, there's no question it's good, but we have 317 bourbons. There are a lot of good bourbons.
Yeah, if someone was looking for Pappy, I would go to a William Larue Weller 12 because it's a weeded bourbon and it's the same mash bill as Pappy, so there's some similarities there.
Well, my last question, either of you can jump in, is, you know, Owensboro doesn't have active distilleries anymore, but it seems like a thriving interest. We have the Owensboro Bourbon Society with about 100 members.
108.
A bar that has Kentucky's trophy case right there in the basement. Is there potential for maybe a new distiller in town?
You want to take that one, Larry, or you want me to jump in?
Let me start. You know, it's... you can't imagine how much we wish that would happen, even from the tourism side, to have that happen. It's a ton of money to start it back up. I know there are some people who have looked at it, and Vince, go.
I think it's going to happen. I think someday somebody's going to buy the Medley Distillery because it's got all the attributes you need to make bourbon, and I think there's a lot of money coming into bourbon now because people think they can make a lot of money. So I think it's going to happen. I'm hoping it is anyway.
Wow. Sounds like some more Owensboro optimism that we've been hearing all through the day here. Thank you both. That was Larry Kirk, the owner of the Miller House Bar, and Vince Carita, the founder of the Owensboro Bourbon Society. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thanks so much.
Let's go back to All Things Considered on WNIN. We've been having our live day out in Owensboro at the International Bluegrass Museum. And coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking about bluegrass, leading up to the performance of the Vicky Vaughn Band at 7 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. Bluegrass, like bourbon, is having a moment, but we want to say a long-term moment, right? One of those Kentucky industries. So let's go back to WNIN. Thanks so much for listening.
Shenyun 2014 features the soul of an ancient culture brought to life through classical Chinese dance and music at Aiken Theater at the Center in Evansville on January 28th and 29th. For ticket information, shenyun.com.
It's just under a minute before 5 p.m. Central. You're listening to All Things Considered while our very own local host Cass Harrington is live in Owensboro. Stay tuned. We still have more to come live from Owensboro today on WNIN-FM, Evansville, Henderson, and Owensboro. With your continued support, we're building a better tri-state together.